Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
We're so glad you tuned in tonight, and we thank God Jesus is alive and well, and he's getting ready to come back and take over the world and set up his kingdom on this world where there'll be everlasting righteousness and peace and joy. Today we come to you once again, bringing the facts of the matter that Jesus has said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the Bible says that the Lord, on the day of Pentecost, where they spoke in different languages and everybody heard them in his own language. So God not only can speak in Greek and Hebrew, but he said in the Old Testament, he said, with men of other tongues, that is other languages, will I speak unto this people. And so God is very capable of translating the Bible and giving us the Bible and the very words that he wants us to have today. And this is an anathema to many of the Greek departments in many evangelical and fundamental schools, because their livelihood depends on them teaching the Greek. But we're glad that we have the Word of God in the English language. And we talk about the differences that are between these translations. And one of the great mysteries that goes on today is, although most evangelical and fundamental preachers will tell you that every word of the Bible is true, and they still say that today, although even this is attacked in so many of the seminaries, they won't tell you where it is or where their authority is. In other words, some will say it's the what they call the original Greek, although there's many Greek texts, and others will say it's in all of the translations together. And so they have, the question is, where is the final authority for the Christian? And they don't have a final authority. So anybody, when they get on the radio, they want to show off, they can correct the authorized King James Bible. And they'll say the Greek says or something like that. And that makes them the authority. And so they deeply resent anyone that can, even though they say that every word of the Bible is true, they won't tell you which Bible it is. And most Christians are taught that it's simply an updating of the King James, and they're taught vaguely that they found some older and better manuscripts. Well, the modern versions are based on primarily the Vatican Sinaiticus manuscripts, which we've talked about many times on this program. And this has been promoted, the Vatican manuscript has been promoted ever since 1450 by the Roman Church, and the Sinaiticus also is a sister copy put out by Constantine. And Constantine actually became an Arian and thought that the city water supply had something to do with taking away his sins, and he was the one that had this put out. These handful of manuscripts, but 99% of the Greek manuscripts back up the King James Bible. And so Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, my words shall not pass away, Matthew 24:35. And so we believe that we have it today, and it is the final authority and sits in judgment on any Greek text, on any Bible, on any professor or any preacher. And any other system is madness. Jesus always appealed to the Bible that he had as the final authority. In fact, all of the writers of the Bible quote Scripture and always appeal to what they have and not to something that they do not have. The Bible says the Word of God in Romans chapter 10 is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. So we have the Word of God. The Bible says in James that we can look at the perfect law of liberty. We can look at the Word of God, and the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is true. And of course, there's an army of people out there who will try to convince you that the Authorized King James has errors in it and they don't have any authority but themselves. And so they don't have the authority, but they out there to try to convince you. But our program says that God has the power to move the stars within a fraction of a second. He is an all-powerful God, and he has the power to keep his words. And, of course, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. So the true text has come down to us from Christ and continues on no matter who attacks it or who is against it. It just continues on because it's the word of God. And it's been here for 2,000 years, and we have it today. Now, in the Word of God, we want to talk today about some of the changes that have been made in the modern counterfeit Bibles. And there's thousands of changes that have been made from this corrupt text. And we want to talk about some of these changes today. And the first one we want to talk about is found in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. And any Bible that you get except the Authorized Bible, you will find this change, and there's a reason for it. Now, in the King James Bible, it says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now, almost any Bible that you pick up outside of the King James, it will say, exchange the truth of God for a lie. And changed and exchanged, they sound almost the same, but there's a world of difference. Now, to exchange the truth, that means you simply drop the Bible altogether, and maybe you become a communist or an atheist, and you start to fight against the Word of God. So you drop to exchange it, you drop the Word of God, and then you come out and out against it. But the Bible doesn't say that we exchange it. The modern ones do, and the true Word of God says you change it into a lie, and that's very different than exchanging it for a lie. Changing it into a lie is taking passages of Scripture and putting a meaning to it that doesn't belong to what it says. And this is done many, many places. For instance, in the book of John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, here you have one of the biggest and largest lies that have ever been taught. And the reason we know that it's a lie is because any controversial scripture verse in the Bible, there's an explanation of that scripture verse that follows. And what they do is they take the scripture verse totally out of the context and they don't read the explanation. And so one of the first things that was taught about that verse is, it says, and I'll repeat the verse again, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit." So what they interpreted this verse, and they changed it into a lie, is they said, well, when the minister prays over the water, the Holy Spirit enters into the water, it becomes holy water, and then the water takes away your sins. That was the first and biggest lie that was taught. Now, Clement of Rome in 90 AD got it right, and he taught we were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But by 50 years later, Justin Martyr says you go down into the water with your sins and come up with your sins washed away, and he believed it was the water that washed away the sin. Now, if you look at the next verse in John chapter 3 and verse 5, you look at the next verse in verse 6, Jesus explains it, and he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, the water birth is the fleshly birth. Everybody knows that before a baby is born, the water breaks in the mother, and then the baby is born. And so when Jesus says that which, when he talks about being born of water, that's the first birth, the physical birth. And that is the fleshly birth. You got to be born physically. But just as you're born physically, you must be born spiritually to go to heaven. And so he says, that which was born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then he goes and he gives some explanations, and then he says, and this is the spiritual birth. He says, "God so loved the world," and this is in this very chapter, and he explains what the spiritual birth is. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what he's saying here is that the Holy Spirit of God puts the spiritual seed of faith in Jesus Christ as someone's Lord and Savior. And when they, with their heart, trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that's called repentance in the Bible, in that moment, they have eternal life, and they do not perish. They do not go to hell, but they are passed from death unto life, and they have everlasting life. But people have turned that into a lie, John 3:5, and they have not looked at the context, or they have not looked at the explanation. And I say that almost every place where people have done that, they simply do not look at the explanation. Now, we find that I have gone to many funerals of people, and when I go there, I've heard ministers preach a certain text at that funeral. And I mean, when they preach this, the way they preach it, they are blind leaders of the blind. And Jesus said, if you follow them, you'll both fall into a ditch. And I've heard this preached over and over again by many different denominations, and they could not be more wrong. And here's what they say, and we'll read Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, the tribulation has just passed. Jesus has taken over the earth, and he comes and sits on the throne of his glory. That is, he is coming back to rule over the earth. And the people that he allows to go into the kingdom are the righteous, and the ones that he doesn't allow to go into the kingdom are the unrighteous. Now, the righteous, they that are saved and that are trusting in God during the great tribulation period, and during that period, if you're a saved person and you follow Jesus Christ, during that period, you may have your head cut off or go to prison. But he was saying the people that are genuinely followers of the Lord, they will go to prison and visit those in prison. They will pray for them. They will help them financially. They will do everything. But the wicked will side against them. You know, you see that today. I just think recently, just a few weeks ago, you had this lady, Sarah Palin. And the first thing when she is announced to run for vice president of the United States, all the news media practically, and they show their true colors, start the very first thing you read about it, they dig every bit of scandal that they possibly can and demonize her, and continually, I mean, one thing right after another, they attack her. And why? Because she's a Christian and a believer. And during this tribulation period when the Antichrist rules, the people are divided up. They're totally against God, or they're either on God's side. And the ones that are on God's side get to go into the kingdom. But this is not a passage that teaches salvation by works. And yet I've heard this preached that, well, this guy was a good guy and he took care of his family based on Matthew 25. Therefore, God's going to let him go to heaven after he died. And I've heard this preached over and over again at a funeral. Not by a Bible-believing preacher. And it says nothing about Jesus dying for their sins, nothing about receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's just salvation by works. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking about judging. He starts off the famous passage, "Judge not, you be not judged." And that's what you're not supposed to judge, just looking at your brother in a critical way. But the whole chapter is on judging. And Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out devils in your name? Haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And then Jesus said, I'll profess unto you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, they called Jesus Lord on judgment day when they met him. They prophesied in his name, in Jesus' name. They did wonderful works in his name. Why did Jesus say, depart from ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you? Because they came to him and they didn't say, well, I'm a sinner and I deserve death, but I am trusting in the fact that you died for my sins and that your righteousness is counted to me and I have received you as my Lord and Savior and I'm trusting in you for salvation. Instead, they're just telling God their good works. And so they preach this on Matthew 25. This guy was a good guy. He took care of his family, so God's taking him into heaven. whether he's trusted in Christ or not. The whole New Testament teaches that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The works demonstrate faith, but it is not the works that save us, because God demands perfection. But we see here that they have changed the truth of God into a lie. We're talking about how they changed the truth of God into a lie, and yet the modern versions say that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That is, they simply dropped the truth and started to teach something else. But the Bible says they changed it into a lie. And one of the great ways that they have used to do this, and this happened in this country around 1900, between 1900 and 1930 particularly, it still goes on today, they started to allegorize the scripture. Now, in the history books, they never talk about God in history, but the Bible is the book of how God actually entered into history. For instance, Abraham was sitting in his tent one day, and the God, creator of the universe, actually showed up at that tent with two angels, and God was in a body that looked like a human body, and he actually sat down and ate while Abraham gave him a meal. We see this again at the time of Jacob when he came back from the land, and he was praying all night because Esau was getting ready to wipe him out, kill him and his family. And he prayed, and a man showed up about the breaking of day. And Jacob recognized that he was supernatural, and he prayed to him. And he would not let him go. And finally, the man said to Jacob, "You're blessed, and your name is Israel." And Jacob said, "I have seen God face to face." Now, the Bible is a history book, and it is a history of God actually intervening, actually coming down and talking to mankind and showing himself to mankind. Now, when they change the truth of God into a lie, what they do is they say that these are beautiful stories, and they don't. The preachers, when they that are false shepherds that are wolves in sheep's clothing, they don't out and out attack the Bible. In fact, they may stand up and say about this beautiful story that we have, and then they give an application to that story. But in reality, they do not believe it is history. They do not believe that it really happened. And we see that even as early as the 3rd century, there was a man named Origen who lived between 185 to 254. And Origen studied Plato, and he was a Platonist, and he put a corrupt interpretation on the Bible. For instance, he taught that Christ rose from the dead, but he rose simply spiritually. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that today also. And this is turning the truth of God into a lie, because not only did Jesus rise from the dead spiritually, but Jesus said to Thomas, he said, "Put your hands into my side and look." And he said, "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And so the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the tomb. And he's the only one that ever did like that. He said, "I am going to go into the grave. I'm going to die. And the third day, I am going to bodily come out of that tomb." And no one in all of history has said anything like it. So the bodily resurrection is very, very important. And yet today, you have many ministers that would deny that or would not teach that. But this is the very heart of our faith. But when he said spiritually, anybody could say, "Well, I'm going to rise from the dead spiritually." Well, that means nothing. But we're going to, Jesus rose bodily, and he says, "As I am, so will you be." You're going to one day have a body that is a supernatural body that lasts forever and ever. Origen taught many other things. He introduced the idea of purgatory. And this doctrine denies the very basis of Christianity, because it says that you must pay for your own sin. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins. He was punished for every sin we ever committed or ever will commit. And the Bible says he is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That is the heart of all Christianity. We're going to meet God without any record that we have ever sinned. But people have turned that into a lie. And then Origen corrupted the scripture, as we've said many times before. And all the people that were not true believers in Christ, when they copied the scripture, they just changed the Bible to make it say whatever they thought God should have said. And that's what is taught today. Many people say, well, we're Christians, but they just believe whatever they want or make up whatever they want. Well, if we're a Christian, we believe Jesus is God. We believe he is the Lord. That is, he's the boss as God. And he has revealed himself to us in the Bible. He told the apostles in the Upper Room Discourse, he said, the Holy Spirit shall guide you into all truth and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so today we have the truth of God's word, and we can look at it, we can believe in it. But people have changed the truth of God into a lie. But thank God we have God's truth today, because it says the truth lasts forever. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.